Okay, the verse on the board is number 18, but a continuation of reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is from text 209. So we'll just read the verse on the board and then we'll continue from 209. Okay, so we'll read from the text 209 and come back to text 218. So this is the letter pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhya Lila 1, text 209. You have written several letters showing your humility. I can understand your behavior from those letters. By your letters, I should understand your heart. Therefore, in order to teach you, I sent you one verse, which reads as follows. If a woman is attached to a man other than her husband, she will appear very busy in carrying out her household affairs. But within her heart, she is always relishing the feelings of association with her paramour. I really had no business in coming to Bengal, but I had to come just to see you two brothers. Everyone is asking why I have come to this village of Ramakeli. No one knows my intentions. It is very good that you two brothers have come here, come to see me. Now you can go home. Do not fear anything. Birth after birth, you have been my eternal servants. I am sure that Krishna will deliver you very soon. The Lord then placed his two hands on the heads of both of them. And in return, they immediately placed the lotus feet of the Lord on their head. After this, the Lord embraced both of them and requested all the devotees present to be merciful unto them and deliver them. So this is the translation to the verse we just read, 218. When all the devotees show the mercy of the Lord upon the two brothers, they were very much gladdened and they began to chant the holy name of the Lord, Hari Hari, purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktiswami Prabhupada. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Chidaye Vaishnave Seva Nistara Pache Kabe. Unless one serves a Vaishnava, he cannot be delivered. The spiritual master initiates the disciple to deliver him. And if the disciple executes the order of the spiritual master and does not offend other Vaishnavas, his path is clear. Consequently, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all the Vaishnavas present to show mercy towards the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, who had just been initiated by the Lord. When a Vaishnava sees that another Vaishnava is the recipient of the Lord's mercy, he becomes very happy. The Vaishnavas are not envious. If a Vaishnava, by the mercy of the Lord, is empowered by him to distribute the Lord's holy name all over the world, other Vaishnavas become very joyful. That is, if they are truly Vaishnavas. One who is envious of the success of a Vaishnava is certainly not a Vaishnava himself, but an ordinary mundane man. Envy and jealousy are mundane by mundane people. Envy and jealousy are manifested by mundane people, not by Vaishnavas. Why should a Vaishnava be envious of another Vaishnava who is successful in spreading the holy name of the Lord? An actual Vaishnava is very pleased to accept another Vaishnava who is bestowing the Lord's mercy. A mundane person in a dress of a Vaishnava should not be respected but rejected. This is enjoyed in the sastras. Upakshana. The word upaksha means neglect. One should neglect an envious person. A preacher's duty is to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, make friendship with the Vaishnavas, show mercy to the innocent, and reject or neglect those who are envious and jealous. Though there are many jealous people in the dress of a Vaishnava in this Krishna consciousness movement, and they should be completely neglected. There is no need to serve a jealous person who is in the dress of a Vaishnava. When Narottam Das Thakur says, Chidaya Vaishnava Seva Nistarapachaya Kabe, he is indicating an actual Vaishnava, not an envious or a jealous person in the dress of a Vaishnava. Om Ajnana Trimandandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavecha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are a lot of wonderful instructions by Srila Prabhupada, especially he is cautioning us that we have to be very, very careful in our practice of Krishna consciousness. Just like Prabhupada is translating these verses, that the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, although they were not quite following the principles of Vaishnava before they came to Krishna consciousness, they were ministers in the government of Nawab Hussain, and especially the government was not led by a Vaishnava, or Vedic culture was followed. He was coming from a Muslim background, so I would assume that he was pretty much what we see today in the world, where Muslims are professing that their way of religion is the best, either my way or the highway kind of thing. So I would assume that if you are working for the Nawab of Bengal, and under his direction, you got to follow his principles and not Vaishnava principles. So the two brothers, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, before, as Prabhupada mentions here, that they got initiated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were very much, I suppose, engaged in duty, which was not quite in line with Vedic culture. But somehow, of course, they were the recipients of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically, as he said, that I have no business coming to Bengal. Because he was quite happy living in Jagannath Puri. He had taken renunciation. So he was living a pretty renounced life and setting an ideal example of what a renounced life should be for future devotees who would follow that path of renunciation. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to Bengal, specifically Ramakeli, and he initiated to two brothers and gave them mercy. And because he was showing his mercy to the two brothers, he was empowering them to do great service. And of course, as you know from hindsight now, from the scriptures and great devotees like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who has revealed that Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami are not ordinary personalities. Although they were acting like ordinary mundane persons up to that stage, working for a Muslim government, they were actually transcendental personalities, came to this material world to be associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and assist Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his transcendental mission of Sankirtan movement. So they were recipients of this mercy, and then they were empowered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at the same time, as we all know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also not an ordinary saintly person. He is none other than that same Krishna from Vrindavan. So he is fully capable of showing full mercy to Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. But he requested all the assembled Vaishnavas there, the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that please kindly bless these two brothers so that they can become perfect devotees, perfect Vaishnavas, and continue in this mission. And of course, we know from later past times and readings from Chaitanya Charitamrita that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami to go to Vrindavan. And of course, they did not question why I should go to Vrindavan. They just accepted the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and went, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to them what is their mission. And of course, their mission was to establish the fundamental building blocks of Krishna consciousness, which we are the beneficiaries today. That Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, along with other Goswamis and great stalwart Vaishnavas, established the very strong foundation and the principles of Krishna Bhakti, and we are recipients of that. So, in a similar fashion, when we come to Krishna consciousness, I'm sure not all of us were born in a very perfect, pure Vaishnava families, because all we need to do is go back in history and see what our lifestyle was like before we came to Krishna consciousness and began to participate in following the basic principles of Krishna Bhakti. So that in itself will show that we were not actually born as great Vaishnavas. But just like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were recipients of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, similarly, we are also the recipient of that same mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But that same mercy is not coming directly in the physical presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but is coming through his empowered parampara. And Srila Prabhupada always established the fact that the mercy of the Supreme Lord is flowing through the Guru Parampara. And therefore, one has to take shelter of a Vaishnava. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is citing one of the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, by saying that one who serves a Vaishnava and takes shelter from him, then his life will become complete and perfect. Because under the shelter of the Vaishnava, he can guide you out of darkness, just like the moments before we were praising Srila Prabhupada, and after the kirtan and singing of the Guru Puja, we recite translation of the Guru Puja every day in the morning. It is not just a ritual of translating, reciting the translation of the Guru Puja to Srila Prabhupada, but it is a reminder to us why we are praising Srila Prabhupada. Because in the translation we see we understand that he fulfills all our desires, and he opens our darkened eyes and fills our hearts with transcendental knowledge by which we can actually know the Supreme Lord and actually understand the process of devotional service. So of course, when we sing make the translation of that prayer saying he fulfills all our desire, that doesn't mean that he will fulfill. The spiritual master is not obliged to fulfill all your material desires, but he fulfills all your spiritual desires. And as in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that there are many persons who will come or who are in this Krishna consciousness movement are not Vaishnavas, but they are in the garb of a Vaishnava. And as Srila Prabhupada says, that we should not be too much concerned for them. We should neglect them and reject them. But those who are true Vaishnavas, we take their association, we take their guidance, and through that make our lives perfect. Because in many purports, Srila Prabhupada says, sadhu sangha is most important, association of devotees, Vaishnavas. Because that is what will keep us safe in the process of bhakti. It will protect us from the influence of maya. Because maya, as you all know, that is not an ordinary personality. She is also a great empowered devotee of the Supreme Lord. But unfortunately, she has been given a duty to keep the living entities in this material world in absolute illusion. So she is executing her duty as best as she can, to please her Lord and Master, who is the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So she is not going to be neglectful of her duty. She is going to be very much, following her duty to please her Master, the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So therefore, every opportunity she gets to keep a living entity under illusion, she will take that. So in our own practice of Krishna consciousness, we are given a lot of caution. Although sometimes we think that there are many negatives in the practice of Krishna consciousness, but these negatives, if you weigh against the positives, the negatives are very, very minuscule. They are very less. They are just cautions given to us to protect ourselves. And when you come to the positives, then the positives are that you actually become transcendentally blissful in this life. And Prabhupada said, if one is following this Krishna Bhakti process properly and executing with sincerity, then they will be very happy in this life and the next life. What does this mean, this life? This life means that even though we are caught up in this mundane material body, which is full of disease condition, and along with that we have got the mind which is always desirous of everything but Krishna, and is a troublesome. But still, Prabhupada says that once we take shelter under a Vaishnava and associate with the Vaishnava, then by the mercy of that Vaishnava, we will be fully protected in our practice of bhakti and we will become transcendentally blissful. So even though we are in this material body, we still become transcendentally blissful as we would be blissful in the spiritual world, in the spiritual Swarupa. It's non-different. It's a state of consciousness. So, of course, Jaya Shri Radha Gokulananda. This movement, Srila Prabhupada named the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And what is that? We all have consciousness. We have to change that consciousness to Krishna consciousness. And if you become Krishna conscious, then obviously we will always be under the shelter of Sri Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Because when we become Krishna conscious, we will always be seeking Vaishnava Sangha. We do not want any association with materialists or mundane people who are fully engrossed in sense enjoyment. So here, there's a lot of wonderful instruction Prabhupada is giving, that just like Rupa and Sanatana, they were recipient of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we are also recipient of that mercy, and we should become truly grateful to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and all the wonderful Vaishnavas in this institution of Srila Prabhupada, which Srila Prabhupada said is none different from him. Of course, we cannot take that in an impersonal way. You know, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the very embodiment of Srila Prabhupada's desire to give opportunity to living entities to come out of darkness and take shelter of Krishna consciousness and become free from illusionary energy. And of course, Srila Prabhupada said that this ISKCON movement is specifically there to facilitate living entities to engage in devotional service. And therefore, any activity we perform under the auspiciousness of Krishna consciousness or this movement is all considered transcendental and pure. Although externally it may seem mundane. For example, there are wonderful devotees here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, and by mercy of Prabhupada, we have a beautiful, glorious place here, the domain of Gokulananda, and wonderful gardens. And you will see many wonderful devotees doing gardening. Now, there is nothing transcendental and spiritual about gardening. But because it is Gokulananda's garden, and you are taking care of his garden, then it is spiritual. Because as we understand from the scriptures and revelations from Srila Prabhupada, that Krishna and his paraphernalia, his entourage, are non-different. So this whole Bhaktivedanta Manor, every single inch of this ground is Gokulananda's property. And therefore, it is as good as Gokulananda in terms of spirituality. Therefore, any part of this service we do which may seem mundane, because there are many manicured gardens, especially if you go to some, you know, royal gardens where there are hundreds of gardeners employed to manicure every single plant free from weeds and plant very nicely and looks very, very beautiful. But that is nothing to do with spirituality. It is very pleasant to the eyes, but nothing spiritual about it. But when you are taking care of Sri Gokulananda's gardens, then it is transcendental pure. So in other words, every aspect of service we do in relation to Krishna under the auspiciousness of ISKCON, it is transcendental and pure. And that will slowly and gradually purify our hearts of material desires and replace that with spiritual desires. And as soon as we begin to appreciate this wonderful gift of Krishna and Prabhupada, then our lives will become sublime and perfect. And one of the symptoms, as Prabhupada says, that there are many persons in the garb of a Vaishnava dress, although, as I said, we are not all born pure Vaishnavas, but we are being given opportunity to become Vaishnavas. So when we put on the garb of a Vaishnava tilak on the forehead, you know, dhoti kurta for the ladies' saris, you know. That is just an external dress of a Vaishnava. But we should truly become Vaishnava in the heart. And that means that we, our hearts must change. And how the hearts can change is simply by following the order of the spiritual master. Just like here, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami were given shelter by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then instructed to go to Vrindavan. So similarly, all of us also have instructions which we have to follow. And if you simply follow these instructions without doubt, all success will come, because success is not there because we are following with our intellect, our intelligence, or with our own energy and powers. But it is empowered by the Supreme Lord through the paramparic line. Just like there was one example I can give you, that in the early days, when Srila Prabhupada started preaching Krishna consciousness in the West, then all these wonderful young people who came to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada did not say that, oh, they are coming because of my effort and I am preaching to them. I am giving them the mercy. Prabhupada said, this is the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. My Guru Maharaj has sent you, all you wonderful young boys and girls, to assist me in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada is accrediting all these wonderful people who have come to the mercy from his Guru. And of course, he is coming from his Guru and so forth. But the point is that these early devotees who came to Srila Prabhupada, they were not very cultured in the Vedic understanding of Vedic culture. You know, sometimes we see, when you quite often use that, they came from the Malecha background. I think every single person in this world, whether in India or outside of India, are all Malechas. You know, it's not that only the Western people are Malechas. I think every single person is a Malecha, because if you are not connected with Krishna, then you are a Malecha. You are a mundane person, materialist. Materialist means Malechas. You know. So anyway, these wonderful young people came, and they were hearing Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was purifying their hearts by the transcendental words. However simple words they may be, simple instructions, but it touched their hearts. And they immediately developed the mood of surrender. And some of the devotees who were there with Srila Prabhupada in the early days in 1966, 67, were just like 6 months to 1 year with the Prabhupada's association. And the only transcendental association at the time, I would say, was Srila Prabhupada. It's the purest of the pure association. And there were the other young boys and girls who had joined Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada very kindly given shelter and initiated them. They were becoming Vaishnavas. And that is the only association they had. So I would not say that they were at that time, all the young boys and girls were instantly overnight pure association. But their desires were pure, because they wanted to serve a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord, Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, their hearts became purer. And therefore, associating with those kind of people who have desire to serve a pure devotee with sincerity will also give you that same benefit of the association, and your desire also will become similar to theirs. And the point I want to make here is that in those days, there were very little training. But then enthusiasm was there, and someone would come to Prabhupada and say, Srila Prabhupada, you want to go and open a center in this city, that city, and Prabhupada says, yes, go and do it. Prabhupada would not say, you have just been 6 months practicing Krishna consciousness. What do you know about Krishna consciousness? What are you going to preach to people? No. Prabhupada had full faith. Why? Because Prabhupada had full faith in the process of Krishna consciousness is very powerful. That once you take shelter of Krishna, then it's Krishna who is guiding you. It's Krishna who is making things happen. Not by you or me, or by our own physical intelligence or intellectual or energy. It is simply by Krishna's empowerment, as we see from this purport, that Krishna empowers you. That empowerment comes. And all these young persons, they would go and open a center. And what would they do? They would go to different cities and they look for a storefront. Because in those days, the only concept of a temple was 26 Second Avenue, Matchless Gift. I said, this is what it is. This is what Prabhupada has given us. Let's go and open a storefront. So they went around opening storefronts and sincerely telling everyone about the beauty of Krishna consciousness. And many people were attracted, and all of a sudden, boom, Hare Krishna explosion. And not just in the few cities of America, but all over the world, Krishna consciousness was spreading like wildfire, simply by the sincere desire to serve a pure devotee. Unfortunately, now, some 50 years later, we are kind of becoming diluted in that sincerity and surrender mood of just accepting the order of the spiritual master and just do it without question. Another example I can give you, there were some very wonderful Vaishnavas. They were very, very happy. They were traveling from Vrindavan to Hyderabad, South India, by train. And they were very, very happy and joyous. They were accompanying Srila Prabhupada on that journey. So it's a long journey. You know, if you've done train journey in India, you will know that it's not a pleasant experience. But nonetheless, these devotees were traveling with Srila Prabhupada, and they were so joyous that they had opportunity to associate and travel with Srila Prabhupada and be with Srila Prabhupada. And it was just like being with Krishna. You know, if you read Krishna book, and all the coward boys are with Krishna on the banks of Jamuna, and they are feeling so much ecstasy. So these early devotees who were fortunate ones were chosen to go with Srila Prabhupada by train. So they're from Mathura, they were going. And when they reached Delhi, there was one life member who had written many times letters to Srila Prabhupada, that, "Swamiji, you please open a center here in Delhi." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, when the time is right, we'll do something." And this life member got to hear about Prabhupada traveling from Vrindavan, Mathura, to Hyderabad, and he will stop over at Delhi. So he went to the Delhi train station, and he found out exactly where Srila Prabhupada is going, in which bogie he is, and he went there. And he went inside. He said, "Swamiji, do you remember I wrote these letters to you?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, yes, yes." "So what about a center here in Delhi? People are dying, suffering. Please be merciful to them." And Prabhupada said, You, take your bags and get off the platform and join with this life member and go and open the center." Now, just imagine, you're with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "Go and open the center." "Prabhupada, but I want to come with you. I'm still a neophyte. I want your association." No, there was none of those thoughts in their minds. Prabhupada said, he picked a few select devotees and said, "You get off the train here with this life member and see what you can do. With his help, open a center." And they, without a question, they went with this life member. And then, of course, they planted the early seeds. And we can see now, by further expanding that, Srila Prabhupada's desire to have a wonderful center in Delhi under the guidance of His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Delhi is expanding. I was just there a few weeks back. And they were telling me they have 18 major projects in that NCR area, you know, Delhi and Greater Delhi. And they are not just tiny, tiny centers. Mega projects he's building to spread Krishna consciousness. How is this possible? That is possible only because they are simply desirous to please the order of the Supreme Lord and the order of the spiritual master. And of course, what is the order of the spiritual master? Become Krishna consciousness, and then spread Krishna consciousness. And this is not just the order of the spiritual master. He is establishing the fact, the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yare dekho tare kaho Krishna upades. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, simply speak about Krishna. Now all of us are sitting in this room here, in the presence of the Lordships Radha Gokulananda, Sisi Gonita, Sisi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada, and of course, all the assembled Vaishnavas. We are recipient all for this mercy. But in our 24-hour day period, if you just go back to yesterday, 24 hours have gone past. How many minutes of those 24 hours did you spend speaking about Krishna to others? Because in that 24 hours, I'm sure you must have met few people. But did you speak to them about Krishna? Because the order of Mahaprabhu is, yare dekho tare kaho Krishna upades. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, simply speak about Krishna. That is our business. We have no other business. So did we speak about Krishna? We did not. We have to be honest. So then we come into this category of those who are in this movement in the garb of a Vaishnava. So we don't want to be that. We actually want to be true recipients of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and do justice to our position by being a serious devotee in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Because if we are not serious in the mission of Srila Prabhupada, then I'm afraid we are just wasting our time. And Krishna has no time for us, as Prabhupada says. Just neglect them. And if the Vaishnava has given the order that if someone who is in the garb of a Vaishnava but is wasting his or her time, then we just neglect them, then what do you think Krishna is going to do? Do you think Krishna is going to, oh, no, I am more merciful than my Vaishnavas. Let them continue. No. Krishna is tolerant. He will give us opportunity. But if we do not take advantage of this opportunity to become serious in our preaching, then what will happen? Krishna says, okay, you know, make room for new people to come. Because time and space is very important. You cannot waste it. So very soon, by the divine energies of Maya Devi will come in your heart and make you think, oh, I'm going. And you think, I am leaving because I want to leave. But it's Maya Devi is telling, get out. And once you go out into the material world, then it's full of suffering. There's no happiness there. Happiness is only when you are with the devotees and the Supreme Lord. And that happiness is enhanced more and more when you are purely engaged in the service of the Lord. And when you are engaged in the service of the Lord, then it will become so pleasing to the heart that you want to do more and more and more. And this is a sign that we are actually doing justice to our being a devotee in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we'll be here eating, sleeping, passing time, and before you know it, Mr. Death will knock on your door and time's up. What have you done? Nothing much. Although we kind of take a little bit of solace from this that I've chanted Hare Krishna, I've taken Mahaprasad, so definitely I'll get a human birth in next life. But don't be so sure that that human birth will be a Krishna conscious birth. It will be a good birth, but if we cannot take advantage of this good birth, what chance is there to take advantage of the next birth? Because in this birth, in this time and space, we are so fortunate that the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still alive and ticking. Next life, when you come back, there may not be ISKCON. Because you have done some bhakti, that is to your credit. Nothing is going to take it away from you. But along with the bhakti, you have done some good things and some bad things. Some punya and some papa. And for papas, you know, with sinful activities, you'll go to hellish region and suffer it out there. And when you finish there, you come back. And then you go to the heavenly planets and you finish your enjoyment in the heavenly planets due to your pious deeds, you come back. Now, if you are fortunate enough to go to the heavenly planets, well, unfortunate enough, actually, to go to heavenly planets, you know, you'll be stuck there for maybe, you know, 10,000, 100,000, a million years. Because lifespan there is beyond our concept. It's not like 60, 70, 80 years. It is long, long lifespans there. Huh? And you end up there for, say, just for hypothetically using a particular figure, say 100,000 years. You are in some heavenly planet for 100,000 years, enjoying the fruits of your pious deeds. Then you come back to this world, and you look around. Wow! The world has changed. It's not what I left here. Then you look for ISKCON. You won't find any ISKCON. Because this period of the golden age in Kali Yuga, specifically this Kali Yuga, other Kali Yugas may not be there because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only comes once in the day of Brahma. And therefore, he's already been here 500 years ago. And the paramparic line is continuing through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And it will continue in the future. If we are sincerely attached to Srila Prabhupada's instructions, then ISKCON will continue. But nonetheless, ISKCON will continue for next 10,000 years. That's the golden period. But by the time we come back 100,000 years later, 10,000 years have gone past and there's no ISKCON. Then you got to wait for maybe another millions of years when another day of Brahma begins. And in which day of that, which yuga of that Brahma's day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will decide, okay, let me go to the material world. And then you will be, you know, there will be Advaita Acharya there on the banks of Ganga in Santipur, praying to Shaligram, saying, dear Lord, come and deliver these fallen souls. And then Mahaprabhu says, okay, I'm coming. Then he starts the Sankirtan movement again. So we have to take advantage now. This is a golden opportunity for us. And from this section of Chaitanya Charitam, it's very clear that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is freely giving mercy. As we all know from Srila Prabhupada, you know, he says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Patitta Pavana, Tava Avatar. He has come to save the most fallen. And I think we are the fallen. Unless until you think we are not fallen, then you are under great illusion. Because we are the most fallen. And therefore, we are the recipient of this mercy. And now that we are recipient of this mercy, hold on to this mercy as the most precious, rare thing you are ever going to get. I would say that, you know, on one hand, someone comes and gives you a rare diamond. What is right there? I think one of the rare diamonds now is called a pink diamond, which is worth some trillions of dollars. And he puts you on your hand. That's the diamond. Trillions of dollars. And then there's Krishna Bhakti. Choice is yours. You may be attracted to the pink diamond, but it will only last so long. And it may give you wealth and opportunity for a short period of maybe 50, 60, 70, 80 years. After that, you're dead and gone. And what happens to the diamond? There's a new ownership. And you have nothing there. But bhakti, as Prabhupada mentions, continues life after life after life. But that life after life after life is very important that we do not misunderstand this. Because one time, quickly, one more example. Srila Prabhupada was, I think, on a morning walk. I forget exactly because I hear many morning walks and my brain doesn't register the exact time and place. But need be, I can go back and figure out which day and which place was that morning walk. Anyway, so Prabhupada was asking, so what is your goal? And they said, Prabhupada, we want to come back life after life after life, birth after birth after birth. And Prabhupada looked at them and says, no, your business is to go back home, back to God at this lifetime. So when you go back to Godhead, and then you are enjoying yourself in the Goloka Vrindavan with Krishna's pastimes and whatever your swarupa is, we'll not discuss that because that is not in our domain to know what we are until Krishna reveals. But the point is, we all have Nitya Swarup, and that Nitya Swarup will be, you know, enjoying experience and relishing the transcendental association of the Supreme Lord. And then Supreme Lord says, ah, you, go to the material world. I want you to do something for me. Then you come here joyously because Krishna is sending you as his ambassador. But you think that I want to come back again and again and again and again to this material world and I'll be preaching and preaching and preaching. Forget it, because you're not preaching in this life. What are you going to preach in next life? So my humble request to all devotees who are present here today and those who are listening on the internet waves, please take this message very seriously. Don't become a Vaishnava in a dress, but become a true Vaishnava and do justice to your situation and position in this movement, because this is a very, very rare achievement. Prabhupada said many people will in this ISKCON, in this Krishna conscious movement, are in a dress of Vaishnava. Don't become that. Now, why would Prabhupada write that when he was translating Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita? He saw something. Why? Because Prabhupada is not an ordinary living entity. He is the Vaikuntha man, specially sent by the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to assist him in his movement. And when Prabhupada is here, he has tricolor gya, past, present, and future. He can see everything. He knows everyone's hearts. And that is why he has put this word of caution here. So, of course, we don't go around looking at everyone and says, are you a Vaishnava just in a dress or you are a true Vaishnava? No. That is not our business. Our business is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. You know, the great Pandit, he was the greatest scholar, but he did not write many books. He only gave the Sikshastikam prayers, the 8 slokas of Sikshastikam. And one of them is saying, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sunichena, Amani Na Amani Dena Kirtane Sada. That is our business. Become very humble, become very tolerant of all situation, be free from false ego. And most important, Amani Na Amani Dena, show respect to all. Now here Mahaprabhu is not saying, and Prabhupada is not translating that, only Vaishnava. He's saying, Amani na mani dena, give respect to all. Therefore, our position as devotees or practicing devotees in Krishna consciousness is to see everyone as potential devotee and therefore show respect to that person, because that person, the body may be not appropriate with the mind and the desires, but the soul, the person is pure. So we don't see the contamination of the soul, but we see the pure soul. And therefore we see that person and respect him or her. And in that way, Mahaprabhu is saying, Kirtana Sadahari, chanting the holy name continuously. So this is our business. So please take this opportunity which has been given to us very seriously and become a true Vaishnava by Sadhu Sangha, by practicing the principles of Krishna consciousness and also preaching as Mahaprabhu's instruction is there. And if we adhere to this, then we will become so, so happy. And there are many, many people who are waiting to hear about Krishna. So I will just say one more experience. On Thursday, I came down and I was in the showroom and I was preparing to leave to go out and visit a few people. And I met one person with his family, and he was from Singapore. So he was asking, do you have a guest house here? Do you have any accommodation we can stay and see what your practice of worship and all that? I said, unfortunately, we are not blessed with that facility here. But if you're interested in staying, then there's a couple of hotels just down the road, 2 kilometers from here. You can book a room there, and it's a pleasant walk. You just come here and participate, and we'll try and help you in all this. And then all of a sudden, one thing led to another. I started preaching to him. And it was like for almost an hour and a half, I was preaching to him. And after that, I looked at my watch and said, good God, I'm running out of time here. Then I said, anyway, I would advise you, sir, that you please read Bhagavad Gita. He said, what is Bhagavad Gita? Can you spell for me? So he pull out his smartphone and was trying to write down the spelling of Bhagavad Gita so he can go and purchase. I said, no, don't worry about it. I'll take you to our reception, you know. And so I brought him to the reception and said, this is the Bhagavad Gita. And he looked at it and says, so can I buy this? He says, yes, you can buy this. So he bought Bhagavad Gita. And he's from Singapore. He came here as a tourist. But somehow, you know, he came to the temple. Now, he did not come just to the temple because we are one of the tourist spots to visit in UK, London. You won't find Bhaktivinoda Manor as a place of tourist interest. But Krishna in his heart told him, go there. And then he was the recipient of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And he will take this Bhagavad Gita with him and he will read. And then the next stage is Srila Prabhupada will touch his heart with every purport he reads of Prabhupada. Prabhupada will touch his heart. And then he will get opportunity to become devotee. So there are people everywhere waiting to receive the books of Srila Prabhupada, to hear about Krishna. That's why Mahaprabhu in his wisdom, 500 years back when he came to this world, he said, Yare dekho tare kaho Krishna upadesh. General instruction to all devotees. Just go and preach. Whoever you go, just preach. And when once you get the bug of preaching, you will see you will not stop. You want to preach more and more and more, because more and more you preach, the more and more you will feel happier, because you are touching people's lives, you bring them to Krishna. And more than that, Krishna is happy, because Krishna says, there's none more dear to me than the one who preaches my glories. In the 18th chapter, in the concluding verses of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there's none more dear to me. So if you want to be very dear to Krishna, simply go and preach. That is our business. Simply chant for our own personal purification and then go out and give everyone the same mercy and we'll be very, very happy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So if anybody has any comments to add or any questions, please feel free.